We're on with Lori Rinaldi, residential mortgage loan officer at Associated Bank. Lori, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
I want to start off with sort of a 50,000-foot level take on where we're at in terms of not only mortgages, but interest rates. The Mortgage Bankers Association says there was a dramatic drop in weekly mortgage applications, down about 3%. Mortgage rates have ticked up well over 7%. Talk to us a little bit about where we're at.
Yeah, I think that just like you said, the reason why applications are down is because rates are up. I mean, I think we're at the highest we've been since maybe late 2023. We had a nice little dip earlier this year with rates in the, you know, low mid sixes, high sixes. So what happened was, you know, some of these sideliners started to enter back into the market in January and February, hoping that they could, you know, snatch a good deal on a home. And now we're kind of back in that same spot where, you know, everyone's kind of waiting to see what happens with rates. Are they going to come down? Are home values going to come down? So, you know, they're just kind of waiting to see what happens before they make a move.
The people that are in the market, are they going after the 30-year or are they doing another loan product?
I would say most people are going for the 30-year fixed. Just the way that the ARM rates are priced right now, there's not that much difference. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, if somebody can get into a 5-year ARM and save themselves a half a point, they'll do it. But, you know, on some days, the ARMs are really not that competitive when you look at where they're priced versus a 30-year fixed.
What is the 30-year fixed this week?
Low sevens, mid sevens, depending on credit score. Condos are priced a little bit higher, but yeah, I would say low to mid sevens.
Give us a sense of the big picture compared to 2019. What was the mortgage rate then compared to now? And how much more does that mean people are paying to get into that 30-year fixed?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. So, you know, you and I were talking about this a little while ago. It's, you know, you think about 5 years ago, 2019, let's just say you're looking to borrow $500,000. Principal and interest payment on something like that is maybe $2,000, $2,100 a month. Fast forward 5 years later, 2024, that same home is maybe going to cost you $615,000. So now you're paying over $100,000 more for that house, and rates are more than double. Now we're at, it's called 7%. So that same payment, which was once $2,100, is now maybe $4,100. So you're paying $2,000 more a month for the same house. Not only does that put a strain on affordability, but, you know, mentally, when you have a home buyer that's looking at, you know, let's just say leveling up, right? Let's say they're in that $500,000 house and that was their starter house at the time. And so now they're looking to maybe get into, you know, a larger home. Say they were in a 1 or 2 bedroom house. Now they're looking to be in a 3 or 4 bedroom house. And that $500,000 at 3% payment is now an $850,000 home at 7%. $2,100 a month versus now you're looking at maybe $5,500 a month. So there's a lot of people sitting back saying, can we stay in the 2-bedroom a little bit longer, right? Yeah. Is it worth $3,000 more a month to move out of that house? And then when you look at, that's the repeat buyer. When you look at the first-time home buyer, maybe somebody was renting in the city and now they're looking to buy their first home and they're looking at that $800,000 house, you know, taking on a $5,600 principal and interest payment, plus you look at property taxes are at an all-time high. Homeowners insurance has gone up quite a bit over the last couple of years. So when they look at that payment as a whole versus what they're paying in rent, you know, that first-time home buyer is getting edged out a little bit just due to affordability.
Yeah. And it's not hard to see why people feel so badly about this. I saw a survey recently of younger folks, so millennials, who said that they feel like they've been completely priced out of ever being able to have a home.
Totally. I mean, I think that when you look at just the day-to-day cost of goods, right? So you're looking at the trip to the grocery store, the trip to the gas station, you know, all of the day-to-day necessity type things. Their rents, you know, like I said, at all-time high, the amount of money that's left over to save for a down payment is not that much, right? So now you're in a situation as a first-time home buyer. You know, we'll talk about the millennials who are just getting started in their maybe income earning slash savings years. They're not able to compete against some of these folks that, you know, think about the level uppers, right? So now if they were in that home 5 years ago, and now that home is appreciated in value $100,000, and that low interest rate has allowed them to build up a bunch of equity in the home, right? Because they're paying more into principal, less in interest. That buyer is going to have a larger down payment. Maybe they're going to look more desirable to the seller of that that new home. Maybe that larger down payment is going to become, is going to cause their monthly payment to become more affordable. So I would say that first-time home buyer, millennial buyer they're really put in a corner in this market just because the strained affordability and the multiple bids, you know, with their lower down payments, they're putting them at a disadvantage.
And all of this has led to a sluggish start for the home buying season. As spring's a big time for home buying, home selling continues into part of the summer. The sale of previously occupied U.S. homes fell 4.3% in March. Is there any hope that there's going to be any recovery at all for this spring and summer season?
I think so. I think that, I mean, the Fed just came out last week and said, hey, inflation's still not where we want it to be. We're not going to, you know, decrease rates for the time being. They've even talked about increasing rates. So, you know, for those home buyers that are kind of on the sidelines right now, it's starting to feel like, you know, gum you've chewed for way too long, right? We just keep hearing the same thing over and over again. And it's like we're ready for the Fed to just, you know, maybe get rates down a little bit, stabilize. It would be great to get into low sixes, even something with a five handle on it, so we can get the market moving again, right? I think that that's all it would take. I think most of us have realized that we're not going to get back down to 3% or even 4% for the, you know, foreseeable future. But I think that if we could see something, you know, even, listen, they're saying that we could possibly get to the low sixes by the end of the year. We have to be realistic about it. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to see any major rate cuts. I think even if the Fed came back and started cutting the Fed fund rate, that's not going to directly correlate to there being 0.75 off the mortgage rates. I do think that, you know, we probably will see the most meaningful drop in rates after the presidential election later this year. I think that maybe, you know, 2025 is going to be where we're going to need to look to for something meaningful.
So the advice would be to, if you can't, hold off on getting into this, unless you absolutely have to. And we haven't really talked about those folks who, for whatever reason, have to be out there buying and selling a home.
So real estate is so tricky, right? I mean, just like buying, you know, a stock, a bond, any major investment, it's so hard to time it. I think that one, you know, right now in the market, most of the movement we're seeing are, you know, those people that are as a result of some sort of milestone or life event that's causing them to buy.
The life event would be, you know, they've gotten a new job, they're changing schools, or they are moving for a family reason.
Correct. Starting a new family.
That's not a permanent situation, though. If they have to buy a house now, I mean, rates aren't going to stay high forever.
They're not. And, you know, I think that something to keep in mind is when we do see rates get back down to, you know, low sixes, high to, you know, mid to high fives, what's going to happen is there's going to be this feeding frenzy in the market, right? Because inventory is going to loosen up, and that's going to create, it's going to take us right back to where we were with multiple bid offers being, you know, even more prevalent. You know, those people that have been sidelined ready to re-enter the market. And so do you put something off, you know, be waiting for the rates to come down? I don't think that that's the best strategy. I think that the price that you pay for a house is the price you pay for it, right? It's what it's worth to you in that moment in time. And then, you know, as rates come down, you can always refinance your mortgage. Do I think that the strategy is to, you know, take a payment that you're uncomfortable with the hopes of refinancing? No, of course not. Nobody has a crystal ball. We don't know where rates are going to go over the next year or two. But we have a strong feeling that they will come down and stabilize. So if you're comfortable with the payment at 7%, and we have our eye on the prize of lower rates in the future, then buy the house. You know, maybe it allows you to get the house at a better value up front because of it.
Do you think we'll ever be back to the 2.5 to 2.7% interest rates, or were those the good old days?
I think that those were the good old days. I don't think that we're going to get there again. You know, and to be honest with you, I don't know if rates were ever supposed to be there in the first place. You know, I think that, you know, that rates being that low and staying that low for the amount of time they did has probably caused, you know, some of this. And I think that we really should be, you know, if we could get somewhere in the mid to high fours even, and just stay there for a little bit, like I said, it's going to keep people in that frame of mind where, you know, they don't have this, you know, apprehension about making a move, and it's going to create more affordability.
Do you have any advice for those people who might be on the sidelines waiting, while they're waiting? Is there anything they can do to, let's say, improve their credit score, save more for a down payment, to get all of their financial ducks in order?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, listen, credit scores are probably the number one factor on what type of mortgage rate that you get. So, you know, that kind of leads us into talking about consumer debt a little bit, right? So I think that the cost of day-to-day goods has, you know, created this environment where people are putting more money on credit cards and, you know, these, you know, a firm in these places where you can, you know, kind of take on a payment plan for things. And although that eases up cash to put towards a down payment, what it does is it really takes a toll on your credit score. The best thing to do is to get your credit usage within 20 or 30% of the limit. So if you have a card with a $10,000 limit on it, you're really going to want to keep those balances under like $2,000 or $3,000. Make sure you're making, at the very least, your minimum payments every month on time. You know, even a 30-day late on your credit report, which could just be a day or two late, is going to really wreak havoc on your score in the short term. And when you're looking at the difference of, you know, half a point on your mortgage rate because you maybe missed your Discover card payment or something, can make a big difference.
Lori, great conversation. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
So you can call me, 312-544-4592. Or you can send me an email at lori.rinaldi@associatedbank.com.
Lori, thanks for coming in today. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks.